कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरि वन द्वारे Prevista Asta Tarasta CC Manas Divine Grace AC Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kija Prem Sakoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhara Shivasiti Gaura Bhakti Vindi Kira CC Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kundi Giri Govani Chi Sri Ramananda Roy Kija Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Kija Gaura Bhimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus seed of Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 2936. Thank you. I didn't put the number here, although I have the verse. Etavad eva jignasyam. Tattva-jignāsunātmanā Anvayāvyatirekhyādhyam Yat-shat-shat-vartrasarvada Etavad-eva-jignāsyam Tattva-jignāsunātmanā Anvaya vyaktire kabyam Yatsyatsarvatrasarvada Itavadeva jignasyam.
Itavadeva jignasyam.
Tatva jignasunatmana.
Tatva jignasunatmana.
Anvaya vyaktire kabhyam.
Anvaya vyaktire kabhyam.
Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada.
Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada.
Please chant. Itavat, up to this, eva, certainly, jignasham, is to be inquired. Tattva, the absolute truth, jignasuna, by the student, atmana, of the self, anvaya, directly, vyaktir rekabhyam. Indirectly. Yet, whatever, syat, it may be, sarvatra, in all space and time, sarvada, in all circumstances. Translation. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Continued purport by Srila Prabhupada. Indirectly, it is said that the whole Vedic social construction of human society is so made that everyone acts as a part and parcel of the complete body of the Lord. The intelligent class of men, or the brahmanas, are situated on the face of the Lord. The administrative class of men, the Kshatriyas, are situated on the arms of the Lord. The productive class of men, the Vaishyas, are situated on the belt of the Lord. And the laborer class of men, the Sudras, are situated on the legs of the Lord. Therefore, the complete social construction is the body of the Lord. And all the parts of the body, namely the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras, are meant to serve the Lord's whole body conjointly. Otherwise, the parts become unfit to be coordinated with the supreme consciousness of oneness. Universal consciousness is factually achieved by coordinated service of all concerned to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that alone can ensure total protection. Therefore, even the great scientists, the great philosophers, the great mental speculators, the great politicians, the great industrialists, the great social reformers, etc., cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world because they do not know the secrets of success as mentioned in this verse of the Bhagavatam. Namely, that one must know the mystery of Bhagavad Gita, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 15th verse, Namam duskritina mudha prapajante naradama mayayaha prityajnana asuram bhavam asritaha. Translation, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are the lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Om jnana timadam dasya janam jana shalakaya chaksu unnayam tasman smitavirah mukam karoti vakshanam dhanurumam jayati guru yakripa tamaham bandhu ishu gurum dhim tarma vansha kapatiru vrishcha kripa sindhu bahirvacha patitanam pavanavya vaishnavya namaha jaya si krishna chaitanya prabhu nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vinaya Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. So this purport that we're hearing from Prabhupada onto this verse has been broken up over three or four classes. This gives us a chance to hear the different moods, the different flavors from a variety of speakers during this time. It's my prayer that the other senior devotees I share this verse with are not offended or embarrassed to be connected with me in this manner, and that I might be able to say some words of benefit to everyone. In this particular section of this purport, we hear and read that Prabhupada is noting the various separate branches of society and their function. He compares this to the body that we happen to inhabit and how that body functions. The body has very specific parts that do very specific tasks. You've all learned this in school. The activities of the body we have are not interchangeable. For instance, I have a 1.5-year-old granddaughter visiting me, and she's convinced that the process of eating requires smearing the food all over her face, possibly all over her legs and arms as well, sometimes even the ears. We all know that this doesn't do anything to accomplish the goal of eating, that this does not give any nourishment, it does create great havoc by making a mess of the individual and consequently everything in the house that's touched by this person that is now covered in avocado and cream cheese. So this is a very, very practical example that we can understand how the body has certain functions that do certain things. And when those are all done correctly, everything moves forward very nicely. If she learns to take that food stuff and put it directly into the mouth and eat it, swallow it, the body digests it, gives the nourishment, the body grows and prospers. The process of smearing it all about doesn't do anything. Similarly, if that process of smearing the food all about and then getting it all over everything in the house is followed, this creates a disturbance in its own means. This is an example that we can see in how society functions according to this instruction given here by Srila Prabhupada. How the different functions of society have different purposes. He notes here that the intellectual class, or the brahmanas, these are the highly religious group of individuals. Then next he describes the kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are the managerial group, the administrative group. This is an extremely important part of keeping everything happening smoothly. Just like here in the temple or in the Bhaktivedanta Academy, we have administrators, we have those that are responsible for orchestrating how things are done. In any society, any collective, this is done. Even you get 8 or 9 friends together to play soccer, somebody's got to be the captain and direct what's going to go on. So in any scenario, there has to be some type of management. The next he describes is the productive or the mercantile class. These are the vaishyas. These are the people that make the articles that we need. They sell them both in the agricultural sense traditionally and in the industrial sense in our modern times. And then, of course, last of all is the sudras. And those are the persons that assist the others and provide labor to the other classes. Now, it's extremely important to note that this is not done with an understanding of one class being superior to the other in a manipulative, abusive, or exploitive manner. This is not how the ideal Varnashram society is divided. There is no mood of Brahminical arrogance towards the sudras. We do see this in our modern society in the so-called version of Varnashram that we see, as it's called the caste system. You're born in a particular caste and you're there forever. That's it. You can't change that. Additionally, you're born in that class regardless of your qualification, you're assigned to that class. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, just like we have many children here in the audience, they're the children of doctors. Well, that doesn't mean that they're all necessarily going to be doctors. We have Prabhupada gives the example of a high court judge. It doesn't mean that the son of the high court judge is also going to become a high court judge, or going to become a lawyer like that. These are according to one's activities and according to one's desired pursuits. Everyone has a different interest. If someone's born by the caste system into a lower caste, then they're considered they have to stay there. But Srila Prabhupada's amazing quality is to take those of us way, way below any of these divisions of a practical society and give us the opportunity to purify ourselves by this process of sangha, of shravanam, and of kirtanam. Associating with devotees, like-minded persons, hearing the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as the verse I read at the beginning of the speaking here, and being able to engage in kirtan ourselves. These are the activities that will elevate us beyond the material designation that we have. We have material designation. Some of you are tall, some of you are short, Some of you weigh this much, some of you weigh that much, some of you are smarter, some of you are not as much, some of you can do sports much better than arts, some arts better than sports, all types of different qualifications. But if we identify ourselves only by those qualifications, then we've kind of missed the point. We can transcend beyond those. Now, back to the Brahminical class. Amongst the students here, and I expect every hand of the 100 plus hands, whatever, to go up because we've talked about this in the classes, what is one of the first qualities of a Brahmana? Okay, looking for something a little bit more specific. Humility. Humility is an extremely important quality of a Brahmana. If in the Brahminical society, the Brahmins have a mood of arrogance, have a mood of self-entitlement, then it becomes very, very distractive to the peaceful execution of the rest of the society. They actually do not have that mentality. The sudras, for instance, the sudras are fully looked after, provided for, and cared for by the kshatriyas. And therefore, there's no need for revolts amongst lower classes of society due to the poor living conditions or poor standard of facilities like that. In this manner, the society can run very peacefully because everyone serves according to their normal capacity. No one has their social position or placement in that social position held against them as a stigma, as some type of, something that has to be dealt with but is unpleasant. Everyone serves naturally in conjunction because the central point is serving Krishna. We've all heard the wonderful example Prabhupada gives. If you take a single stone and throw it into the water, right, it creates a ripple effect that is completely centric, evenly goes out from the center all the way. If you take several stones, a handful, and throw them in, all those circles clash with each other and it causes difficult circumstances as far as the smooth running of those circles. So in that same way, when everyone has the same focus in society of serving Krishna, of serving the spiritual master, of elevating our consciousness, then everything runs very smoothly. This is the important understanding of our approach to devotional service. In previous times, particularly in the time of Mahaprabhu, even in the time of Narottam Das Thakur, even more recently, in the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Sesa, I say more recently, but for most of these students, Bhaktisiddhanta is like a way figure in the past. At any rate, the same principle is there, that there was this idea that you're restricted by your birth as far as what service you can do, as far as you being able to be a devotee, to be a brahmana, to engage in practical devotional activities. So devotional service is not restricted, either by caste, by ashram, or by gender. All aspects of devotional service are open to everyone. Now, in the Sanskrit in this verse, there's a couple of very important words. Now, I was actually listening to a class the other day, and Prabhupada does this many times. He'll start the class off. There are some very important words in the Sanskrit here, and then Prabhupada will explain those words. So there's some precedent for breaking this down like this. So one of these words is jignasyam, and this translates as is to be inquired. And the other one is jignasuna, and this means by the student. So what is the purpose of a student? What is the duty of a student? That is to inquire. Okay, so inquire. This is an important understanding for the student's responsibility, just as we have the responsibilities of the Brahmins, the Kshatriya, the Vaishyas, like that. So we have the responsibility of the students. Now, these two words expand from the root word jignasu. And this word jignasu means inquisitive. So the jignasuna, the student, is to be engaged in jignasyam, inquiry. Okay, so the student's supposed to inquire. What do we inquire about? Tattva atmana is the other word used here. And tattva atmana means the truth of the self. Okay, so the truth of the self. I'm a boy. I'm a girl. I've got this color hair. I've worn this color shirt today. I have this skill. I can run faster than anybody else. Is that the truth of the self? No, the truth of the self is that we are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. And that when we understand that, that is the real understanding of jignasu. This is also indicated elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada repeatedly quotes this verse, jignasu shreya uttamam. So these two points, studiously inquiring and not judging someone by their external birth, these carry over very well into the celebrated personality that we're going to speak about today, and that is Sri Ramananda Roy. Which of the, raise your hand if you can tell me, any of the students, who the two topmost friends and associates of Srimati Radharani are? Lalita and Vishakha, yes. So as we discussed many, many times, when Lord Chaitanya appears in his Gaura Lila, all of his associates come with him from Krishna Lila. And not just from Krishna Lila, but from all of his Lilas. So they all come in different forms. So if you're going to go somewhere, you're going to take your two best friends with you, right? Hey, I'm going down the Ichitakni this weekend, you know, you want to come? Hey, we're going over to the park and play some ball. You want to come? So we want our best friends there. So when Mahaprabhu comes, Lalita and Vishakha, they also appear. And this is the status of our dear Ramananda Roy. We find that the acharyas, they do not have ordinary lives. Everything that they do, everything about their example, is there as an example for us in developing our Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Roy is a very confidential and important personality in the associates of Mahaprabhu. For those of you that may not know, confidential, this means somebody that understands your mood, that understands the reason you do things, that understands the desires that you have. This is a very close friend, someone that understands these things about you. In this way, this is a very, very intimate relationship. Now, during this time, Maharaj Prataparudra, some of you may remember, Maharaj Prataparudra was the king in Puri. And he didn't just rule Puri and Orissa, he covered vast amounts of land. And even as far south as the Godavari River, which kind of runs across the middle of India, so to speak, in the southern regions. Now, the king would have his residence, and then he would depute different ministers, or what were called viceroys, to manage on his behalf. And one such personality was Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was responsible for governing the areas that we now know as part of Hyderabad. Now, if we look at Ramananda Roy's family, it's really quite amazing. His father was named Bhavananda Roy. And they were born into an administrative caste. And he had five sons. How many, I think I did this in class the other day, how many of you have two brothers? Raise your hand. Three brothers. Four brothers. Wow. So this was the situation in Ramananda Roy's family. Bhavananda Roy had five sons. And their names are very interesting because when we hear them, we pull up, if we're familiar with Chaitanya Lila, we remember certain pastimes. Ramananda Roy was the eldest son. And then the next one was Gopinath Patanayaka, Kalanidhi, Sudhanini, and Vaninath Patanayaka. These are the four brothers. Now, we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Gonadesha Deepika, those of you that remember, this is the book that tells us who all the personalities from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are when they were in Krishna Lila, that this Bhavananda Roy was Pandu himself. And that his wife was Kunti. So who can guess who the five sons were? The five Pandavas, yes. So we have a very, very illustrious family. But wait a minute. I just said that Ramananda Roy was a Shaka Lalita. So this is the interesting thing about spiritual energy, is someone may have multiple personalities. Now, of course, in this world, when you have multiple personalities, they generally consider that an illness and usually creates difficulty. But in the spiritual world, this means that multiple energies, spiritual energies, have imbibed themselves in the same form. So this is the family background of Ramananda Roy. It's important to note, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati describes that a Vaishnava is beyond the qualities of mundane material nature. Therefore, he explains that although Ramananda Roy was born into what was considered by even the Kshatriyas, the Sudra caste, because it was a lower branch of this Vaishya community, of the Kshatriya community, excuse me, that because of his spiritual qualification, he's to be seen as the topmost of devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta further goes on to point out something very important to us as we deal with other Vaishnavas. He says, anyone who considers a devotee in terms of their birth or their race is considered to have a hellish mentality. So this means that this type of idea of judging other people, particularly Vaishnavas, by their external birth or caste or race or whatever, that this is not a very good thing to do. Now, let's do a little bit of historical look here at Mahaprabhu's lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas during the month of Magh. This is January and February, kind of the last of one, the beginning of the other. He left Bengal and arrived in Puri during the month of Phalgun, which is the end of February, beginning of March. At that time, he celebrated the Dola Yatra festival. This was also at the time that Mahaprabhu delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then in the month of Vishakha, April and May, he started his pilgrimage to South India. So we see that from the time Mahaprabhu took sannyas, it was barely 5 months before he went out traveling. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to Puri, all right, let's set up house, get my little ashram here, my desk over here, my wardrobe with my clothes over here, get my altar over here, kitchen over here, da, da, da. No, he was there barely 5 months and started traveling again. As they sometimes say, the sannyasi's business is to hit the road. So, when Mahaprabhu decided to go to South India, he decided, I'll go by myself. I'm a sannyasi, I'm a mendicant, I depend only upon the Lord, so I'll travel by myself. However, remember when you go somewhere, you have your friends with you. Excuse me. Nityananda was quite concerned about Mahaprabhu's needs, and so he suggested he should take a traveling companion. And he put forth one individual named Krishnadas. Now, those of you that are familiar with Chaitanya Lila know what happened to this Krishnadas. We'll leave that for another story at another time. But as he was leaving, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave him two things. He gave him some kopan and loincloth so that he'd have something to wear. And he gave him a request. When you go to South India, I want you to meet one very elevated Brahmana. His name is Ramananda Roy. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was in a very senior position, age-wise and managerially in the structure of Puri, to Mahaprabhu. So he wanted to give some practical advice to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This wasn't inappropriate that he should, you know, say to him, okay, when you're traveling, do such and such. What? How are you telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to do? No, this was done in a mood of affection. So he was able to give that instruction. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave a very specific instruction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about Ramananda Roy. He said, when you meet Ramananda Roy, please do not neglect him, thinking that he belongs to a sudra class that is engaged in material activities. He may have that external appearance, but he is the topmost of devotees. It is my request that you meet with him without fail. Now, if the teacher, Jai Shri Radhe, stands at the front of the class and says, all right, here's your assignment. Without fail, I want this completed by tomorrow. Okay, there's not much leeway there. You show up tomorrow and you have not done the work, there's going to be a problem. Without fail. This means you've got to do it. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke like this to Mahaprabhu, without fail, you must meet Ramananda Roy. So we can understand from this single statement how important Ramananda Roy is. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continues, Ramananda Roy is a fit person for you to associate with. No other devotee can compare with him in knowledge of the transcendental mellows of love of God. This is also very, very important. Right out of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When we are engaged in the process of devotional service, Sangha is most important. Sat Sangha, beneficial, pure, good association. And we can go out and associate with so many kinds of people. Sometimes those of us that have to work in the secular world, we're associating with people all day long that really like, oh my God. You know? But Prabhupada said there's a difference. You're not associating, you're giving your association. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having taken sannyas, has done so to develop, externally, to develop love for God, to become the topmost of devotees. Because remember, Lord Chaitanya was a covered incarnation. He didn't put it right out to, hey, I'm Krishna. Sometimes he did. During the Mahaprakash Leela at Sri Vasangam, he would sit on the altar and manifest four arms in different forms to the devotees. But that was in a very intimate setting. In general, he posed himself just as an ordinary devotee. So, knowing that was his mood, Sarvabhauma says to him, Ramananda Roy is a fit person for you to associate with. In other words, that association with Ramananda Roy will give you the result that you're desiring. Just like in the classroom. In every class, and I'm not pointing any fingers because I don't know the classes that well. In every class, there's the class clown. That individual that maybe isn't so serious, is always, you know, just kind of, you know, whatever, you know, like that. It's always there, you know. So if you're trying really, during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, it was there. He was like that sometimes with his associates. Always prodding, always looking for a debate, always causing, you know. So if your intention, if your desire is to get some very, very serious studies, you generally avoid the class clown. No surprise I was that class clown. So at any rate. So in this verse, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has shown how deep his understanding of Lord Chaitanya is. I know what your mood is, and here's the person that will help you attain that goal. So in this way, the foundation is set up by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for the relationship between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did have this concern for the association Mahaprabhu would get outside of his usual circle. And this is why he recommends like this. When we are in a situation where we have to associate outside of the Vaishnava Sangha, we want to be very careful that we do not drown. Therefore, we have certain things. We keep the holy name in our heart as much as we can on our tongue. We keep the Tulsi Mala on the neck. We do whatever we can to keep, you know, sometimes, like one of the benefits I have of hearing aids, you know, oh, you have hearing aids? Oh, that's too bad, your hearing's gone. Well, actually, my hearing aids are synced to my phone. And so I can be listening to kirtan in my ear and nobody has a clue. So while you're out there doing whatever you got to do in the secular world, got Madhava or, you know, BB Govinda, whatever going on in the background. So we do these different things because we're outside of the Vaishnava Sangha, but we don't want to be outside of it. Physically, we're outside. We don't want to be spiritually outside. You have a question in the middle of class?
Are you right?
What's that?
Are you right?
I am not listening to BB Govinda Maharaj while we're speaking. Caught red-handed. And don't tell my boss I'm doing it. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the following verses on the subject of Mahaprabhu's travel and his initial meeting with Ramananda Roy. We're going to read these here. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. After some days, the Lord reached the banks of the river Godavari. When he saw the river Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Jamuna. And when he saw the forest on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is a perfect example. Wherever we go, we have to try and connect that. There's this law, that when you build a large building, you have to build a retention pond for all the runoff water. So where I work, just outside the building is a hill. And at the bottom of that hill is a retention pond. So I take my break and I go sit outside on that hill underneath the tree and I look down there and I try to remember what it's like to see Govardhan Hill and Radhakund, Shyamakund. So we have to try and train our brain like that. It's not such a lofty, difficult thing to do. We have to try and train our brain. We have this example from Mahaprabhu. He sees the river Godavari and he thinks of the river Jamuna. He sees the forest on the bank, he thinks of Vrindavan. So this is the classic example for us. Chaitanya Charitamrita continues. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in the forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna. What do we see here? Lord Chaitanya is doing nothing but chanting. He was chanting and dancing over here, then he went here and took bath and sat down and chanted over here. This is his entire business, chanting. At that time, accompanied by the sounds of musicians, Ramananda Roy came there, mounted on a palanquin, to take his own bath. Many brahmanas, following the Vedic principles, accompanied Ramananda Roy, chanting different Vedic mantras. According to the Vedic rituals, Ramananda Roy took his bath and offered oblations to the forefathers. According to the Vedic rituals, this means that you don't just like, okay, put on a sami suit, dive in. When in the very early days, the devotees would go to see Radhakund, Shyamakund, they did not have necessarily the proper reverential mood and treated it like it was a swimming pool, diving and jumping and splashing and probably, no, you can't go bathe there. You have no understanding what to do. There's a mood of reverence. Similarly, according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, the writings of our Goswami, says there's a very specific manner in which you take bath. How you enter, what prayers you say, ashram first, doing this, putting that, all these different things. We may not do those nowadays, but at any rate, they are there. And this is the way Ramananda was engaged. But here's another important point. Ramananda Roy is going to take his bath. How many of you are carried on a palanquin to the bathroom in the morning? Okay, oh, really? I have to have a talk with your mother and father. So we see that, you know, this is a sign of how respected Ramananda Roy was. Remember, he's the viceroy. He's like the minister. So he's given this reverential mood. So he goes to the bath, to the river to take bath. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon seeing the scene, he could understand this is the Ramananda Roy that Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya told me about. And so immediately in his mind, he began to plot how to meet Ramananda Roy. Now, it mentions that although mentally he was thinking, oh, I have to go and meet him, externally he patiently sat there, just waiting. Here again, social etiquette. A sannyasi would not run after meeting someone of such pomp and enjoyment. So, Ramananda Roy, at the same time, seeing the sannyasi sitting there, noticed that this sannyasi is as brilliant as the sun. Now, if you go outside right now and look up at the sun, actually, when you look away from the sun, you'll have this blur in your eyes, this glow, because it's so, so bright. So this is how bright Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not one sun, 100 suns. He's emanating this amazing beauty. He had on a beautiful saffron garment, very strong, well-built body with beautiful lotus petal eyes. Lotus petal eyes. This is always described like that. So when Ramananda Roy saw this sannyasi, his heart became struck with wonder. And what did he do? Got on his palanquin and had his palanquin carriers take him over there? No. He shunned all of that, took off his shoes and walked over to the sannyasi and offered his obeisances, falling flat like a rod, full dandavats, as they say. This is the proper mood, even for a minister, even for an elevated government official, when they come before a sadhu, they prostrate to them. They give their respects. They submit to them. The Lord dutifully stood up and he asked Ramananda Roy, please, please, get up and take up the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So this is the very first instruction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to Ramananda Roy. Chant Hare Krishna. This is the very first instruction Srila Prabhupada gave to all of us. Chant Hare Krishna. Matter of fact, it was the very last instruction Prabhupada gave to all of us, chanting Hare Krishna. So, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very eager to embrace Ramananda Roy because he had been told by Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya about his glorious position. Mahaprabhu then inquired, you are Ramananda Roy? That's who you are, correct? And we wanted to confirm this. And Ramananda Roy folded his hands and said, yes, I am your very low servant. I belong to the Sudra community and am not suitable to be in your company. This was his mood here again. He did not have this arrogant mood of, yes, I'm the viceroy around here. Everything's under my domain. What can I do for you? What can I give you? What do you need? I can give you anything. No, he had the completely opposite mood. Very humble. So at this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does indeed embrace Ramananda Roy. Very, very affectionate embrace. Both Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy felt such great ecstasy in each other's company that for all practical purposes, they lost consciousness and fell to the ground in love of God. It awakened within them a deeper understanding of their own love of God. And of course, all of the different 8 manifestations of ecstasy manifested in their person, and they both began chanting endlessly the name of Krishna, 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 Krishna. That's the best ecstasy you got?
Hare Krishna.
All right. Anyway. So, in this way, the stereotypical caste-conscious, ritualistic Brahmanists that had accompanied Ramananda Roy. You know, they're very strict followers of the Vedic principles, and when they saw this love of God that was manifesting, they were completely struck with wonder. They began to think, we see this sannyasi has an effulgence like Brahman, but how is it that by touching this sudra, he's crying in ecstasy? And then they thought to themselves, this is their own thinking, this Ramananda is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person. He is a Mahapandit, a greatly learned person. But upon touching the sannyasi, he has also become like a madman. So they began to make this inquiry. How is it that these two personalities have become so much ecstatic in each other's company? So while they're thinking in this way and assessing the scene, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy saw that the Brahmins were a little confused and unclear about this, so they restrained themselves. This is a very important point. One does not generally manifest their ecstasy in front of others. We never saw, for instance, in the description of Pundarik Vidyaniti, when Pundarik Vidyaniti heard certain verses, he immediately, Mukunda chanted these, he immediately fell into ecstasy, rolling on the ground and tearing at his clothes. And so we didn't find any type of ecstatic manifestation like that in the character of Srila Prabhupada. Does this mean he didn't experience it? No, because there were certain times when we saw little indications. But Prabhupada restrained himself in a public profile. So similarly, Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized this display of ecstasy was causing some disturbance, so they checked themselves. Regained their external sanity, as the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, and sat down, and then Mahaprabhu began to speak in a very smiling way. He said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has spoken of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me that I should see you. Indeed, I have come to this place just to meet you. It is very good that without making any effort at all, I get to meet you at this place. Now here again, the humility of Ramananda Roy manifest. Well, you know, it is true. Sarvabhauma knows what a great guy I am. No. He replies, Sarvabhauma thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do things that are for my benefit. By his mercy, I am getting your association. Consequently, I considered that today I have become a successful human being. Now, this is an important statement. How is it that today he has become a successful human being? By getting the association of a Vaishnava. By getting the association of the personality of Godhead. We can all think back to when we became a successful human being, getting the association of Srila Prabhupada for the first time, of one of Prabhupada's successors, getting the opportunity to get a book from a devotee on the street. Our human life met its goal. So this is the way Ramananda Roy is thinking. He said, I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now here Ramananda Roy turns the tables. Yes, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a very advanced person, but I can see it's you who have blessed him. So in this way, he continues on speaking about his own position. He says that, I can see you're a very advanced person because you do not fear Vedic injunctions to say you should not associate with a sudra, and I am the lowest of sudras. This is a common mood amongst the advanced followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatana. Such elevated personalities, but they considered themselves the lowest due to their contact with the Mohammedan government and their responsibilities in that way and their association in that way, they considered themselves completely unacceptable. They didn't accept any glory with their title. But we see this also there in Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy concludes, he says, you have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all the fallen souls. It is the general practice of saintly people to deliver the fallen. This also is a very, very important point. Srila Prabhupada, I was just listening this morning. Srila Prabhupada was sitting very, very comfortably in Vrindavan, very happily executing his different activities. I remember asking Vishwambar Goswami, now deceased, the previous head of the Radharaman temple, because he was one of Srila Prabhupada's associates. I said, you know, we all come to Vrindavan, we go to the different six Goswami temples and go on parikram and like that. I said, did our Srila Prabhupada do that? He said, yes, he was a local sadhu who got up every morning, bathed in Jamuna, went to all the different temples, collected his bhoga, would go back and cook and offer it to his deities. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada had no reason to leave Vrindavan other than to fulfill the instruction he had been given by his own spiritual master. So this is the duty. It is the general practice of saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there. This is the thing that we generally, you know, you go to someone's house, you've got something going on. I'm meeting this person, or you're going there for lunch, or there's a kirtan program, or you're going to collect some funds, or you're going to whatever the reason. You have a purpose in going there. A saintly person goes to places he has no purpose, no connection with, because he's there to spread love of God. I remember we used to do this back in the early days of being a brahmachari. We would go out in dhotis, door to door, knocking on the door in the suburbs. Sidetrack story, but I can't forget it. We used to go out after the morning and we would take our lunch with us. And I don't know how many of you know what the summers are like in St. Louis, but they're brutal. And so we would have four brahmacharis in the car, shaved head, tilak, dhotis, and we'd have our upma for lunch. And then we'd promptly do what every brahmachari does after lunch. So we'd be sitting in a parked car in some nice suburban neighborhood, four brahmacharis asleep in the car. There'd be a knock on the window, some policeman, what are you doing? Oh, we're spreading the love of God. So this is the business of the saintly person. Not that we were saintly persons, but we were representing the saintly person. Going door to door and giving love of God. So in this way, we see this pastime with Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so, so very important in their own relationship and as the next stage of this, which we won't have time to get into today, and their next stage is the conversations they have instructing us how to become Krishna conscious. What is the highest goal? This is a very, very, very important day to pull out the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, and read these verses between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing what is the highest goal in Krishna consciousness. So we're going to finish there. Although there are many, 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 many more pastimes, Ramananda Roy is one of those personalities you can speak about for a couple of 3 days easily. But we have 45 minutes and we've exceeded that, so thank you all very much. Sri Ramananda Roy ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Thank you very much.